And you know, my friend, how true that is. There is room at the cross for every sinner, because there's no sinner too great that God can't save. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming from Little Rock, Arkansas. We want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that the door of salvation is still open, that whosoever will may come, whosoever does come, Lord, you will in no wise cast out. And how glad we are that thy grace is an irresistible grace. When you set your love and grace upon an individual, Lord, they're going to come, and how we praise thee for this reality. We thank thee again for this precious privilege of broadcasting thy truth by the means of radio, and we ask, O God, that thou would give listening ears and attentive minds out there. Cause many to tune in that perhaps have never heard the broadcast before, and Lord, just speak to their hearts in a special way that only thou canst do. But above everything else, we ask thee, glorify thyself in all that's said and done in this broadcast. Magnify thy name as only thou canst do it, and Lord, use it for thy glory and honor. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading reading at verse 1 down through verse 8. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. We call your attention to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our subject today is the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before you begin to criticize and jump up and down and say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows, beloved, I know that just as well as you do. However, our Lord did have joy. And today we shall look at the joy of Christ and see what it is, as well as how it affects us as believers. There is much of a mystery here, for this is new ground, but one that needs to be gone over for our learning. My hope is that all of you will profit from this study as you listen, and if you want these tapes, you write us and we'll work out the details. Now, our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, we're going to look at the various kinds of joy in the human realm. Then, secondly, we shall look also at the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whether or not you realize it, the Scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the majesty, or of the throne of God. Is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this means that our Lord had joy. Now, we're going to share with you what this is all about, because I'll tell you again, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was joyful because of certain things. And we need to understand that, and if we do, we'll understand more about our blessed Redeemer. Now, before we can do that, we must understand the various kinds of joy that are found in the human realm. First of all, there is a physical joy. Now, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, did you ever look at the joy of children at Christmas time or when their birthdays come around and we find that they receive something? I know we've got such a generation today that's so ungrateful and everything like that, that all they talk about is how much they can get, and they have a gimme, gimme, gimme. But years ago, when this was not true, we find people were very joyful, and yet some of our children still are at this present hour. There's the anticipated joy of the children when Christmas or birthdays come around and they receive these gifts. Now, this is a physical joy. Then, coupled with that, there is also the anticipated joy of the new bride or the mother-to-be. A few weeks ago, some of my ladies were talking in the church, And one of the young ladies made the statement that she was expecting a child. And my, they had quite a conversation. And the tears of joy were just streaming down the cheeks of some of the others as they heard about that good news. You see, this church doesn't believe in killing of babies. We don't believe in abortion. And if you do, you need to repent and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here was the anticipated joy of the new mother-to-be. Then there is also the anticipated joy of a new bride. A bride looks forward to being with her husband, and a bride looks forward to the joy that will take place on her wedding day. Now, this is anticipated joy, and we find also there is actual joy when the reality of it takes place and it becomes personal. Now, most of you know what I'm talking about, and you know very clearly that you had physical joy in this physical realm in which we are living. But, beloved, there is also something else. There is a spiritual joy. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles and turn back with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 51, and look with me at verse 12. Here is a penitential psalm that David wrote after he had committed a grievous sin against the Lord God of heaven. And in verse 12, David writes this psalm as he's crying unto the Lord in repentance. He says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now what do you have here? You have spiritual joy. Now take your Bibles again, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and you look with me at verse 3, and we see again something of spiritual joy as it's set forth for our learning. Isaiah chapter 61, and look with me at verse 3. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now, what do you have here? You have spiritual joy. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, in Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1 down through verse 7, you have the joy of sin forgiven and an acceptance with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hold your seat. Salvation is not so much the sinner accepting Christ as it is Christ accepting the sinner. Now, you won't find the sinner accepting Christ in the Word of God. No, you won't. But you will find Christ accepting the sinner in the Word of God. And you check that out, if you will. Now, let me give you an example, if I may. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15, and you find, beginning with verse 20, we read these words, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Now, beloved, there's spiritual joy. Now, what is that? There's the joy of sin forgiven and acceptance with Christ. And that's portrayed for us right here in the story of the prodigal son. Now, this is spiritual joy. I wonder tonight, or today, whenever you hear me, do you have spiritual joy in your heart at this hour, my friend? Have you ever gone back and realized what it was when the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed you, and how you had the joy of sin forgiven and an acceptance with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cried, "Abba, Father," because our Lord accepted you in the Beloved? And I'll tell you right now, it's a joy that nothing on this earth can compare with, but it is a spiritual joy. But what happens? People lose that joy because sin breaks our fellowship with the Lord God of heaven. Now, as I said before, I'll say again, when once we become a son of God, we always remain the son of God. And yet we find very clearly that we lose many times our fellowship with the Lord because of sin. And David here faced that. And in Psalm chapter 51, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And David here was speaking of the joy of restoration and forgiveness. And I'll tell you right now, every true believer experiences that from time to time. We are time when our sin breaks our fellowship with the Lord God of heaven, and we come back to Him in repentance, and He receives us and welcomes us and washes us anew in His forgiveness. And we find very clearly we are given the joy of restoration and forgiveness. And the key to it is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9, where the Scripture brings it out for our learning. Listen to the Word of God again, if you will. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9, where we read, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." And you have here the spiritual joy, the joy of sin forgiven, the joy of restoration and forgiveness. But there's a third kind of a joy. In Acts chapter 8 and verses 5 through 8, we find the joy over the salvation of others. Listen to verse 5. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, seeing and hearing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in that city." And I'll tell you right now, every true believer joys over the salvation of others. Just a week or so ago, a man wrote and told me the Lord had saved him because of the result of the broadcast in his area. What a joy it was to receive a letter like that, and how we praise God for His faithfulness in using this program, and how we counted it a privilege to be able to be used by the Lord, and then think He blessed by giving the joy of salvation to the individual. Yes, my friend, this is spiritual joy. But then there's one more thing that's found out in spiritual joy. And we see in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, and look with me now at verse 10, and we read these words where it says, listen to it now, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweets, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of your Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength." What do we have here? The joy of service for the Lord God of heaven. I'll tell you, my friend, if you're not doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, you just don't understand what this joy is all about. And this is the fourth kind of joy. Then in Isaiah chapter 66, if you look with me, in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 5, you have another joy. And this is a joy that we're going to rejoice in. In Isaiah 66 and verse 5, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." And this is the joy of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, today, this is the various kinds of joy that are found in the physical realm. There's physical joy, and then there's spiritual joy in joy. But now let's look at the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Proverbs chapter 8, we find the Lord Jesus Christ had the joy of being the darling of heaven. And long before this world was brought into existence, the Lord Jesus Christ was the darling of heaven. But we notice also the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ that He had in anticipation. Now you say anticipated joy? Yes. In our text, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the joy that our Lord Jesus Christ had, not only of being the darling of heaven, but also the joy that was set before Him. The joy of what? The joy of the numbers of the God's elect that were going to be saved because of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had become our substitute and our Savior. This is the joy that our Lord anticipated and had. And we find it was such a joy that he endured the cross and counted it as nothing. Now you think on that. The Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despising the shame, which means he counted it as nothing, and is sit down or set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then we find the joy that our Lord has in the salvation of his elect people. Take your Bibles now and turn back again, if you will, to the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 105. And we find in Psalm chapter 105, and we see in verse 43, the Word of God says this, "And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the nations, and they inherited the labor of the people." This is the joy that our Lord had in the redemption of Israel from Egypt. And I'll tell you right now, our Lord has joy all the time over the salvation of a sinner. Oh, my friend, today, where in the world do you find that? In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, our Lord said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then in verse 10 he said again, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now this is a joy that our Lord has. The joy of being the darling of heaven, the joy of the salvation of his elect. And then if you'll take your Bibles and turn back with me to the book of 3 John, and we find verses 1 through 4, we see the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ again as it's set forth for our learning. The book of 3 John, chapter 4, or chapter 1, because it only has one chapter, but verses 1 through 4 we read, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." And remember now, this is the Lord speaking, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." In other words, my Lord is joyful when God's people are being edified and walking in the truth. And then we find there will be the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ when the consummation takes place. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles again, if you will, and turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and listen to what it says in verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And this is the joy when the consummation takes place. And last of all, there will be the joy when our Lord rewards his saints that have been faithful unto him. So, my friend, you see the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me close in this moment, if I may. Do you have the joy of Christ dwelling within you? Or the joy of sin forgiven, and the joy over the salvation of others, and the joy of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the joy of anticipating and seeing him is something, my friend, that no unbeliever ever has. Instead, they have a demented countenance, which is not very pleasant. But a believer is to be joyful. And my friend, the joy of the believers is both actual and anticipated. And I'll say to you very kindly, I'm looking forward with anticipated joy to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the near future. I hope you are. All my hope is that something has been said, that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he may give you this true, eternal, everlasting, satisfying joy. And when one comes to know him, I'll tell you right now, we are complete in Christ. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. My hope is that something has been said that will turn you from your wicked ways and turn your face toward God and seek him until you find him. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
And their gold, seeing no need of mercy for the soul.
said that so, he must be born again. Yes, born again, born from above, washed in the blood of the Savior of love. Wander and perish, if not this way, he must be born again. Pattern your life to make yourself a name, thinking you're rich when you have your fame, saying to God, well, I'm not to blame, he must be born again. Yes, born again, born from above, washed in the blood of the Savior of love. Wander and perish, if not this way, he must be born again. Wonder of wonders, when he calls you, saying, now sinner, your sin debt is due, making the soul cry, what must I do? He must be born again. Yes, born again, born from above, washed in the blood of the Savior of love. Wander and perish, if not this way, he must be born again. When you see time is slipping fast away, another day gone, and yet you're not saved, be not deceived, for you'll have to pay, he must be born again. Yes, born again, born from above, washed in the blood of the Savior of love. Wander and perish, if not this way, he must be born again.